Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Low Sodium Show. I am your host, Mark Alarinku Wheeler, and we're going to have a great show tonight.
Talking about the deep, dark depths of heavy cover fishing. This is where I make my money, y'all. It's one of those things where a lot of folks, they try to do it, and they can't. They don't know some basic things. And we're going to cover that tonight. But first, let's get down to the boondoggle. You all know it. You all know it and love it. The boondoggle is going to be October 11th through the 14th or 12th through the 14th. It's going to be down in Perdido Key, Big Lagoon State Park. And please, do not register. Do not register. Do not register. Do not set up a campsite. Do not do anything until we at Kayak Fishing Radio give you the thumbs up. Okay? That is definitely a big thing. We're still working out the last little few little tidbits of information. So please, do not register. But for more information, go to yakangler.com/boondoggle. To get all that info you're going to need. Also, coming up here probably before Memorial Day, most likely we'll have a few guests on of notoriety that are currently extremely busy with the early season tournaments. So keep stay informed for that. Next week's show, we're going to cover the the wide, wide world of brim fishing. Yes, that's right. The little buggers that always seem to tick you off or nibble at your spinnerbait or harass the bass in the beds. We're going to take care of them, finally. So next week's show is the brim show, the right show, the hot show. So there you go on that. Yeah, that's going to be the next show. So stay tuned for more information on that and an invite and all that happy hoo-ha-ha. All righty. I'd like to thank those in the chat room. Heavy, it should be metal, but he screwed up. It's heavy meat fishing. What's going on, man? And Miss Tammy Tambo McFly, what's going on? Gonna have a great show tonight. But before we get going any further, gotta say a huge amount of love to those that make everything possible.
Give me the flats of dawn with plenty of tailing fish
and the perfect fly rod.
Yeah.
And get ready for some magic.
Oh, that's awesome east, man.
I got one.
Oh, damn, I got him. You got it. I got him.
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
Alrighty. Cool. Remember, folks, if you can't hear audio or whatever, either refresh. I'll post a link here in about another 2 or 3 minutes to the other way of hearing the radio show, or use our Kayak Fishing Radio app, just as it sounds, Kayak Fishing Radio, on either your Droid or iPhone. Simple as that. And they're both free. Gotta love free things. And holy bejesus, Fishing Chef Robbie Delaney is in the house in the chat room. What's going on, man? Good to see you. It's been a long time, buddy. So, alrighty. Let's start talking about heavy cover fishing. And the first thing we're going to talk about is gear, okay? This is something that really drives me nuts. People complain, I can't fish heavy cover. Well, that's right, dude, because you're using a spinning rod and a 6-pound freaking line, okay? If you're going to fish heavy cover, you need heavy gear, heavy on heavy, okay? This is a sumo match, all right? This is, you know, this is, you know, shock and awe. This is, you know, waking up in the morning after a long night at the bar and going, oh, Gotti. That's what we're talking about here, y'all, is not to be dinky. It is to be, I'm going to hurt you kind of fishing, okay? So you got to have something with that. Yes, and use a JDM. And actually, I actually helped design a rod with Bull Bay rods that is called the Bomb Dropper. Because guess what you're going to be doing with it? You're going to be dropping bombs on fish, whether it's use an ounce and a half tungsten with a, you know, big creature bait, like a missile bait D bomb, or you know a big creature bait, or you know big baits, big jigs. So yeah, you're basically dropping the bombs, boom, of just hammering them. And actually, I think I've got a soundbite for that, and it's really pulled up, and there's. Doing, dropping a big old slosh haunch bomb on them. So, let's talk about that for a second. Heavy rods. Alright, this is a lot of flipping, a lot of pitching, a lot of walking frogs. I say big bait. What do I mean by big? Big. 4 or 5 inches, slender profile, so it can punch through the mats, punch through the heavy cover. Okay. The missile baits, D-bomb, the Havoc creature baits, the Havoc crawl baits, the beaver styles are all great baits for that. Big worms, okay? Baits that can slip through there, but give a big profile. And let me break down profile for everyone. Profile, everyone thinks it's just you know, how much coverage it's going to take. A lot of times, a profile can be long as well. So that's something that everyone needs to understand. So, you know, rods. Like I said, I just designed that rod for Bull Bay rods for flipping and pitching and throwing big swim baits. This is a big bait rod. Okay, you're not going to throw, you know, a quarter ounce jig on it. I would love to, but you're going to have a lot of, you know, pain and agony. Please do yourself all a favor and stay away from spinning tackle, okay? The reason why, and the only time I would throw spinning tackle, so I'm throwing into wood, we'll get into that a little bit later, but if you're going to throw into heavy cover, do yourself a favor, heavy duty, 7'6" to 8' bait casting rod, okay, 50 pound plus. And I say plus because you can go up to 80. I know guys that use 100-pound braid, okay? Depending on which style you're using, it's completely up to you. But at least 50 pounds of braid, okay? In this style as well, do not worry about any sort of leader when you're first starting off. Invest in a black Sharpie. And all you have to do is cover, is just mark, yeah, I'm being serious there, Tammy, is that you are talking about throwing into heavy stuff, okay, where you need to yank that fish out of there, you know, as well as cut through any of the vegetation, okay. By using that 50-pound braid, you can hit that hook set as hard as you can, and you yank them in, okay? And it is vital to this technique. If you use anything less, you are going to go home with your, you know, butt hurt, basically, all right? Going, what happened? And I'm going to tell you, it's because you didn't use heavy enough line, okay? 50-pound braid, 60-pound, 80-pound, you're only talking about 15, 20-pound, you're only talking about like 15, 20 pound mono size. You're not pulling them through stumps. One of my favorites is throwing around stumps for this technique, their hammerhead. You know, you're basically just going to be tearing into them. And if you do it right, you're not worried about getting snagged. Yeah, the heavy braid.
Okay, I see what you're saying. I jumped on that too early. But, yeah, heavy-duty rods, heavy-duty line, okay? And like I said, just mark it up with a black Sharpie, and you're set. Is this for catching bluegill? No, it's not for catching bluegill. This is catching big old bass. This is for catching catfish when the catfish are spawning. Let's see if I'm bluegill. you know, stuff like that. But this is primarily a bass technique. Spots, smallmouth, when they're in the thick vegetation feeding. And you're going to find this definitely in the southern areas or when you have the lily pads pulled up on lakes that don't have docks. Okay? When I have lakes that have a predominantly a docky area, I don't find as many fish in the heavy vegetation because they're underneath the dock. Now, with that being said, if I get on the lake and I look around, and there's every dock has a boat or two on it, guess where I'm fishing? The heavy vegetation. Why? Well, for one thing, the bass aren't going to be sitting where they're going to be caught. Okay, just way too much action for them. They're going to slide back into the pads. They're going to slide back in the duckweed, the hydrilla, and just kind of wait it out. And then they come out at night and fish the docks. that's a great thing about it. Now, lures. I've mentioned several. Okay. One of my personal favorites in this whole brouhaha of baits, okay, is the Missile Baits D-Bomb. It is absolutely killer. Has a really nice profile. It's got a wide profile, but also slides through everything, all the vegetation really nicely. Has a good vibration to it. The Strike King Rage Tail Crawl, another excellent one, puts off a lot of vibration. And one that I personally just found out is now my favorite of all time, is the Bass Pro Shops Pesky Perch. Okay, get it in bluegill color, which is a watermelon color. Dip the tail in chartreuse and then dip it sauce, okay? And hold on. Because right now, my bass around me are feeding on bluegill. All right? The bluegill are on the beds. The females have pulled off the beds a little bit, and they're in the emergent vegetation. And they're loving it. Just drop them right in front of their face, and they hit it, and I hit them back, and it's always a good time. So I mentioned the line, heavy-duty hooks. Flipping hooks, okay, are mucho needed. Do not use a light wire, extra wide gap hook. You want a hook similar to what I almost use for trolling for, like, tuna, okay? It's a heavy-duty hook. Mustad makes a great one. Danny Brower did it. what's with the app? Oh, no. All right, I'm going to post this link up here real fast. So, yeah. It's just a, you know, oh, shoot, where was I at? Just lost my train of thought. So, yeah, that's the key to, you know, a heavy-duty flipping hook. You can find them at pretty much all freshwater tackle stores, Bass Pro Shops, Cabela's, whatever. It's okay, Tom, or Tim, sorry. Gee, many Christmas trees. Weight. You're not going to be using quarter-ounce weights. You're not going to be using half-ounce weights. We're talking three-quarter ounce, ounce and a half, two-ounce tungsten. Trust me on this. Spend the money, okay, and buy tungsten. Why? Because for you to get an ounce and a half weight, it's just huge. It's just a huge weight. It just doesn't make sense, okay? Buy a tungsten weight. You will not be disappointed. It's going to give you a lot more feel. It's going to give you a whole lot of other things. Also, buy some pegs. You can find them to like a dollar or bobber stops. I think there's like a thing of like three or four. I'm looking at it right now. I have six here in a pack, and it cost me like $1.25. Buy the bobber stops. Why is that? You don't want that weight to leave the bait. You want it to stay sucked in against the bait itself, okay? That is key, and we'll talk about that more when things come around. So, that being said, so let's recap real fast. Heavy-duty gear, okay? And this is for the flipping fish. Another way of fishing these baits is with a frog. You're going to want a rod, a heavy-action rod with a fast tip. OK, okay? Again, heavy-duty braid. It's going to be critical. A good frog. I think we did a frog show in the past. Hollow-bodied frogs are killer for this. Any weedless frog, for that matter, is going to be killer, okay? Don't worry about any leader. You don't need it. It's just going to, you know, make your feelings hurt, okay? And fish the big stuff, basically.
Bull Bay Custom Rods are handcrafted, designed, built by fishermen for fishermen. Each plank goes through a rigorous stress test to ensure the highest quality, period. You can actually feel the action of the bite as well as lure vibration through the foregrip. Made with the highest quality components and made to your specifications. Bull Bay Custom Rods bring innovation to your hands. Go to bbrods.com to check out some amazing custom rods. Bull Bay Custom Rods, built by fishermen for fishermen.
Dinkum. The real deal. And that's Paul's Dinkum Mullet. It's the real deal. With its exact mullet profile and sonic signature of a live mullet, gives you, the angler, the unfair advantage. Just cast and retrieve, and just make sure you have both hands on the rod because they are going to hammer it. Go to unfairlures.com right now, preferably after my show, and and get the unfair advantage at unfairlures.com, or go to your local dealer and demand for unfair lures, and let them know that Mark Wheeler sent you. Again, go to unfairlures.com. All right, folks, welcome back to the Kayak Fishing Radio Network and the Low Sodium Show. And what we're going to talk next is the what you need to look for. Before we get into that, Hammerhead Greg Crisp asked, have I used the Dahlberg Diver Frog? And yes, I have. I have two of them. and I find that if I'm, like right now, we have the emergent vegetation. What do I mean by emergent vegetation? I'm talking about, if you look on the lake, you're just starting to see the lily pads come up. Okay, you've got a bunch of really green ones and some brown ones, but there's a lot of spacing between. And this bait, that bait works great for working in that area because it doesn't really sit on top of the pads really well because it does dive down. So having that extra space where that bait can walk through, it bounces off of those legs of the lilies really well. But when they start getting really tight, I think the bait needs to be underneath the surface. And working them in heavy cover like we're talking about tonight really doesn't work very well. That's why I love throwing that the frog, the DDF, in woody areas. Areas that I can see where, you know, I got a lay down and there's, you know, hydrilla pinned up against it. You know, I'll start it just working on top of the hydrilla. And the moment it gets off the hydrilla, it dives down. I'll bounce it off of, you know, some of the limbs or the main trunk of like a cypress tree, the knees, and it works very, very well. A really good bait. So definitely worth trying. But again, in heavy cover like we're talking about tonight, and I'm not talking about, you know, sparse cover. I'm talking about if you threw a half-ounce bait and it lands on top and doesn't sink through it, or a spinner bait or anything else, that's heavy cover, okay? And that's what we're going to talk about right now is what are you looking for in heavy cover? Basically, the best thing to do, and this is talking about lily pads for right now, is if you pull up to the pads, okay, don't throw anything. Just watch them, okay? If there's wind, it's going to make this really difficult. But if you're sitting there and you're watching those lily pads and all of a sudden you see, you know, two or three of them move and then, you know, 10 feet, you know, next to it, they move again, it means that something's moving in there. Most likely, it's a bass, okay? They're going to tell you where they're going to be. And just sit there and watch them for a few minutes. You see those pads move. Okay, and they'll shift and shame and, you know, and shingle and do everything those things that pads will do. When you see that, that's going to give you an indication of where those bass are at. Now, if you see a lot of movement, start
eyeballing. Okay, I saw him there. I saw him there, and he went back to there. That's where they're gonna. That there, there's for some reason there's a stump. There's a hole right there, and the pads are just covering it. Those are all things you're gonna want to key in on. Okay, when that happens, this is a technique where you're not really gonna have the bait sit there for very long. Okay, so you're gonna get up, and a big part of this technique, y'all, is if you almost need a kayak that you can stand in and be comfortable in, to be able to get the bait to where you want to go, to be able to yank them out vertically. Because if you try to yank them out through the stuff, it's going to make it really difficult, and you have to go in and get them. So being able to do it vertically will be much easier. excuse me, y'all. So that's pads. And don't be afraid. If you pull up on it and it's windy, don't go, oh, I can't fish it. Fish it, okay? What you're going to look for are the stalks that come up above the rest of the lily pads. Around that means that it's got a really solid base underneath it, okay? So work around that center. Work around it. Pitch behind it. Pitch to the left, right, in front, and then put one straight down the middle of it. That's the glory of this of pitching those heavy baits, is you're going to stick it right down in the middle of its hole, okay? Now, what I'm saying that is you're going to pitch it out there. It hits. It goes down. You flick, flick, flick. If nothing happens, reel it in and do it again, okay? It's literally a quick, that's why I love, this is my moneymaker, because I can cover a lot of water, work it over really well in no time at all, and really find those bass that are uber aggressive, the bigger bass. Because you're using a larger bait in this sense. A lot of the smaller bass are going to shy away from it, okay? Basically, all you're doing is you're just whoop, right in the hole, right in that hole, okay? You were sticking that J-dam as heavy metal mention. I mean, you're throwing that bunker buster in there, y'all. I just pulled that one up. There it is. And it just drops it on top of their head, okay? It's simple as that. This is not a finesse technique. This is a power fishing technique, okay? Another thing, if you're working those pads and you see way in there that there's a hole, the pads aren't growing in a spot or that it's not sitting right in there, work that edge, work in there for a little bit. This is where being able to flip and pitch and spend the time in your backyard pays off, okay? It is truly how you can get in there, all right? Just work that whole area. Grass, emergent grass. You see this a lot in Florida, okay, where the grass line, or especially in Louisiana, where you have the floating mats, okay? What you see on top is like a roof, okay? And on that roof, underneath that roof is a big old pig cave, okay? Did everyone lose sound? I really hope not, because I'm getting all happy now. But a big old piggy man cave. Yeah, really? Jiminy Christmas trees. All right, I'm going to keep talking, so you can all listen to this later on. All right, underneath there's the big cave, the big old slaunch cave, where they like to waller around and eat big old minnows and shad and bluegill and whatever else. Yeah. So you're going to come up to this grass pad, okay? What you're looking at doing is just punching through it all, okay? Areas where you see a lot more grass built up, pitch to the side of that. Pitch in the middle of that. That's where that 1.5 ounce really comes in handy. I really hope I didn't lose all my sound. Jiminy Christmas trees. Anyway, you're going to really fish it. Fish that area really hard, okay? Areas where you see, because usually where you see weeds like that, it's next to reeds. And if you see a point in the reeds, work that point. You know, areas where you go, there might be a bass there, work it over. It's really one of those hardcore techniques where you can cover a lot of water. Really? Oh, trust me, it's still there. Oh. Sorry, y'all. Well, because this is happening, we're going to take a quick break. And be right back with more of the Low Sodium Show, only on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network. Okay, considering that none of my sound bites are working, it's going to make this really hard. All right, so we're back. Everyone doesn't have sound. Oh, my God. All right. I unfortunately cannot do anything right now. Yeah, I'm running sound bites and none of them are coming through. Great. All right. So, with all that being said, I'm going to keep on talking. Hopefully, this is being recorded. Completely just screwed up my show. All right. How are the things you need to look for? Fish trashy areas. Areas where the wind has blown wood and debris into a corner. Work that area. Wood, I talked about wood. We've got, wood, I'm adding brush into that as well. Being able to throw into those is going to be critical. This is where you can actually lower your gear down to spinning tackle, finesse gear. And don't be afraid to throw it through all the stuff. It'll, you'll still pull fish. And, I'm just, darn it. And duckweed. That's where I throw all my frogs. It's just one of those things. I got to throw frogs around duckweed. Oh, my God. Great. All right. So, that's what you're looking for. Techniques. You need to learn how to flip. You need to learn how to pitch. You need to learn how to roll pitch, and I'll do a video on that this coming weekend. Lure presentation is pretty simple, and I mentioned it before. You got to pitch it in there, okay? Here's the key to this, is you want to cast out, you want to do your flip. Right before it hits the water, you're going to stop it. Oh, there we go. We finally got refreshment. Oh, good Lord. I just had a blog talk just went down. Great. All right, I'm back up my soundboard. See if this will work. Nope. See if this will work. Of course not. Why would it work? Good Lord. Ah. I don't know what's going on, y'all. So what you're gonna do, okay, is right before the lure hits, you're going to stop it. Okay, what's going to do is it's going to flip the bait actually up and use the head, the weight, to punch through. It is how you really get that lure to just dive in there just full bore. And and it is truly the key to this whole technique, is that punch. Okay, you're punching through the grass. You're punching through the pads. You're punching through the duckweed, through the wood. And to do that, you don't want it to lay on there. You want it to go straight down in, just like a missile would. So, if you do it like that, you will be golden. Trying to look at my notes here. The hook set, okay? This is where I really check my sound bites. Yeah, I apologize, everybody. It's Blog Talk. It's not me. I'm going to be sending them a hate mail here in a little bit. So what you're going to do, okay, is when you feel it, that dunk, and that dunk is the bass, is the that pounce and a half weight smack in the back of their throat, okay? You feel that, you know, reel down and point the rod tip at the bait, and then you're going to hook set them and just keep lifting and reeling at the same time, okay? You're pulling them out of there. You don't want to give them a chance to wrap around any legs of the lilies or in the weeds or in the wood, okay? Get them out of there, all right? That's the biggest thing, all right? That's where that heavy-duty braid comes. It is key to all this, okay? And then, and safety, okay? You will have fish spit this bait. You will have them spit it. It is going to happen. You're going to miss fish. And you're setting the hook so hard, okay, that you have to worry about that weight coming back and hitting you. One of the things that is truly critical to this, wear eye protection, okay? Wear glasses, sunglasses, okay? Even if it's cloudy, wear the sunglasses, okay? I know people are going to go, why'd you wear your safety glasses? Don't be dumb, okay? So wear a pair of safety glasses, a pair of sunglasses, wear a hat, okay? I'd rather have it hit the bill of my hat, okay? Or hit, you know, the padded front of my hat than cracking me in my forehead and leave me with a nice big old red mark, okay? Another thing, if it comes at you, just kind of cringe and take it. You don't try to catch this bait. Those hooks are extremely sharp, okay? And you catch one in the hand because it's going to come out of there like a rocket, okay? It'll hurt you bad. So just take it and go from it from there. That's the easiest way to do it. Trust me, okay? Second thing, or third, I guess now. I sound like Psy. That's the number one rule, Jack. Rule number one? Yeah, kind of thing. The third thing you need to understand, okay, is that if you're standing and you're not comfortable fishing standing, there is an opportunity that you might fall in. It'll happen sometimes. It's fine. This is a technique that if you do it, go light, okay? If you haven't practiced falling out or getting back in your kayak, don't stand. Just wait. All right, unless you're in like a super steel boat like a Jackson Big Tuna, okay? those are your keys, okay? Stay safe, go light, meaning in tackle-wise, or store in the kayak, all right? Wear proper gear, sunglasses, and a hat. Okay, you should be wearing that anyway to keep the sun off your grape and out of your eyes. Okay? And stay safe. All right. We're going to take a quick break, see if my sound bites have come back on. I really hope they have. Because, I've got a few things I need to play here. So let's see.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip beats so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers. Made 100% in the USA, always has been, always will be. Check them out at orcacoolers.com. Bull Bay Custom Rods are handcrafted, designed, built by fishermen for fishermen. Each plank goes through a rigorous stress test to ensure the highest quality, period. You can actually feel the action of the bite as well as lure vibration through the foregrip. Made with the highest quality components and made to your specifications. Bull Bay Custom Rods bring innovation to your hands. Go to bbrods.com to check out some amazing custom rods. Bull Bay Custom Rods, built by fishermen for fishermen.
Are you looking for a jig head to do everything? To fish as a jig, to fish as a shaky head, to fish flukes, to fish just about anything? Then check out Tommy Head Jigs with the profile, the double collar, and super strong, super sharp mustad hooks. You truly have an excellent bait that can do it all. So go to TommyHeadJigs.com and pick yourself up some Tommy Heads. That's right, folks. It's time to pig of the week. Squeal like a piggy. All right, y'all. Pig of the week goes to my buddy Patrick Crow. This Hoss Boss kitty cat chunk killer, man, absolutely tore up the redfish in the past 2 days. I mean, he went big, boy. Yeah. So Patrick gets out there and starts throwing these baits at these redfish and, you know, just absolutely killing them. I think he caught himself well over 50 reds. It was a truly awesome time. I caught a bunch, and actually in the past 3 days, I've caught over 200 redfish out of this one spot. Truly incredible. One of the best 3 days of fishing I've ever had. Just truly awesome. So, Pat, if you're listening, and you better be, because I told you to listen to my show, guess what, buddy? You just won the Pig of the Week and a prize pack of Unfair Lures. Get you some of that. Yeah, boy. Oh. All right, folks. I could recap everything we just went over, okay? But here's the thing. I'd like for everyone to ask questions in the chat room. Those that are in there, thank you, Hammerhead, Heavy Metal Fishing, Campbell McFly, and Mr. Tim Morris. Thank you again for staying with me. And, yeah, like it's, I've pretty much gone everything that I had on the tech stuff, but we're going to talk about frogs for 1 second while you guys are thinking of ideas. Throwing frogs, okay? I've talked about this before, okay? And when you're throwing these frogs, okay, I get a lot of questions on how to work them. And literally, in pads, and we're talking about lily pads for a second. This is where everyone wants to throw frogs, and it's a great technique. And let me break it down for you. We're going to talk about the bait in general that I use for pads. Is a bronze eye frog. It's just what I've always used. Okay. What you're going to do is you're going to cast this thing out a mile. All right. You're going to slowly just take the rod tip. Okay. If you're sitting, raise the rod tip up. Okay. And pop it, okay, and always bring it back to where you came from, giving it slack. When you do this, it's going to make that bait start to walk, okay? Walk it through the pads. If you have a lily pad in front of you, this is where sitting down really comes in handy. You can actually put that frog on top of the pad. Don't move it, okay, especially if the sun is high. I throw frogs in the middle of the day. I know some of the hardcore guys are going, man, you don't throw any top water in the middle of the day, don't get anything. Shut up, dude, okay? I'm going to tell you. If you stomp it on top of a lily pad, and I'm going to say this to everyone, go out there and swim underneath the lily pad. Take a snorkel on some fins and swim underneath the lily pad, okay? And then have someone else throw a frog on top of a pad and look up. I'm going to tell you, it's going to give you your profile of your frog. It's an illustrious idea, okay? Of profiles, okay? When bass are sitting down in the depths, kind of just wallowing around there like big old sloth pig. Okay. They're looking up, and they're seeing everything that goes on. And they see a frog come in, and all of a sudden sit on top of a pad, just like a frog would do. And that bass goes, I might have to eat that. And then you just flick it off there and let it walk a little bit and then stop it in the middle of openness. It could be a 5 by 5 inch little open spot. Stop it in there. That bass is going to go, I can't handle it anymore, boss, man. I got to eat it. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to eat it. He's going to come up and go, boo-hook. And that's the sound they're going to make. I'm telling you, that's the sound. It's going to go, boo-hook. That little flush, that bowling ball, you know, splash. Go-doom. Okay. As soon as it goes down, turn his head inside out. Okay? That's the biggest thing. Let's see here. Okay. I got questions. I have answers. How do you fish under hydrilla mats? All right, I'm sorry, I'm going to restate this. Hydrilla mats, okay, because they're going to make that, if you take a look underneath, okay, and I feel like Zona, let's take a look under the water here, and let me show you what we're talking about. Okay, that mat is basically a bunch of those, of it's like a kelp pad, okay, where you've got, you know, all these long stalks that come up, and they keep growing, all right, until they make that mat. Right? Or they just kind of just creates a roof of happiness, okay? Underneath that roof of happiness are these little channels that fit all the way through there and little holes where those bass are sitting. And you would normally be able to see those holes if you saw the emergent where it hasn't really hit the surface yet. So what you're going to do, and this is where it kind of gets a little fuzzy, because a lot of times hydrilla goes around reeds, it goes around other things, usually, is work those things you can see. Also, don't be afraid to just kind of just work an area, all right? And this is where using that ounce and a half, weedless style, hook and bait and everything else is so key. And the main thing is that pegged weight. If you didn't have that pegged weight, when you flip that bait out, that weight's going to ride up the line, okay, and not give you the presentation. It's going to drag stuff with it. But if it's pegged, it's compact. When you flip that out there, and I've already said this, so if you re-listen to the show, I do apologize. When you flip that bait out, right, right before it hits the water, stop it, okay? What that's going to do is make that bait flick. The tail end of the bait's going to go up in the air. The weight's going to be pointing down. Release your thumb, and it's going to shoot straight down into the pad. That is the key, okay? That is where you need that right there is, if you take anything from the show, that is a little trick that pros use, that I use, that those that I know who fish heavy cover use. Oh, my God. I hope, Tim, you caught that. Because now people are losing sound again. Great. Tammy asks, here's my question. Heavy vegetation across the entire lake, no real deep holes, no structure, no real difference, just grass everywhere. Where do you start? I start with any irregularities. And if you really focus, okay, if you really just take a day or take some time and don't cast a lure, don't do anything else. And this is where standing, and what you're going to do, okay, is don't cast. This is where you need a concrete and stand so you can get a better angle on the water, okay? And on every grass flat, there's always something, okay? And if you're a lot of times on lakes like this that you're talking about, that we've talked about before in private, you're going to see that in the middle of this lake, there will be no irregularities. It just, you know, goes from bank to, you know, to ledge to flat. Nothing else. That really turns into a difficult situation. I'm kidding. It does turn into a difficult situation. Start beating the freaking bank, okay? And that's the biggest thing. You're looking for tree limbs, reeds. They're going to be back in those reeds. You're going to literally push into there. And it's really hard, you know, and I'm going back to regularities for a second. An irregularity could be it's just dense vegetation, and then there's one spot, okay, one area where it just seems to lighten up a little bit in the vegetation area. That's where they're going to be. They're not going to be in the choked areas as much. They're going to be in the areas where they can move around a little more freely. And that's the biggest thing is, you know, find those irregularities. Find those different points. Different. I always talk about, and when people go fishing with me, is what's different? Be a ripple on the surface on a flat, calm day, just one little ripple in the middle of nowhere. That's your difference. It could be, I've been on lakes before where it was just a rocky shore, but there was one log that held 90% of the bass, okay? It could be an area of the lake. I've been on big lakes before where literally the north and south ends, or the whole lake in general, was completely covered in clouds. Except for one creek channel that went back about a mile. And in the back of that creek, that creek had sun. The clouds weren't there for whatever reason. And that's where the bass were hitting. And that's, you know, it's that thing, okay? So that's one. Those are the main points of how I would do that. Because everyone lost sound, and I need about 10 minutes worth of your time still. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to see if I can get everyone back here in a second with a rocking little break. All right. This is not working tonight. So, Tackle Webs are my new sponsor. I know I haven't really talked about them a whole lot, but tacklewebs.com. Go there, buy them up. Great way of organizing your gear, whether in your car, your kayak, your boat, and keeping your deck organized. So clear your deck and get your fish on with tacklewebs.com. All right, we're back. Quick thing is Unfair Lures, okay? I'm going to take a little time to talk about them real fast and talk about the Unfair Lures Inca Mullet. And I have a lot of people ask me, how do you work that bait? And you don't. It is a bait that you basically, it's foolproof. Because of its design, the profile, and the sonic signature, all you need to do is cast it, and it casts a mile, on a spinning gear. Please use spinning gear for this. All right, cast it. It sinks down. If you get it spinning, it'll sink to about 3 to 5 feet. The sinking will just keep sinking. If you're fishing in deeper water, the floating stays pretty much on top. When you get to the desired depth, just start reeling real slow. Okay, that bait is naturally just going to wiggle a little bit. It's going to look like a mullet, and I swear it does. Okay? As it's going to the water, it's going to wiggle a little bit. Every so often, give it a small twitch, a small little tap. Okay? Don't do anything real erratic, because that bait's going to roll and do a bunch of stuff. Just give it a little tap. It's going to make that bait just go on its side. Okay? Just keep on reeling real slow. All right? And you will get hit. If they're there, they're going to eat it. Because mullet don't swim by themselves. Okay? It's a natural thing. Every fish knows it. And every fish wants to kill that lone mullet. Okay? So, with that all being said, I do apologize for all the technical difficulties, everybody. please go to all my sponsors and supporters, both for Starfish and Trust, Orca Coolers, YakAngler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource, Unfair Lures, Bull Bay Rods, Feel the Bite, Tommy Head Jigs, cannot thank Tommy enough, Orca Coolers, again, TackleWebs.com, and Tackle Webs, get your fish on. And sorry, folks, for all the inconvenience. Hopefully, I'll catch you next week. With that being said, take your kids fishing, always wear your PFD, and get your fish on, man. Good night, everybody.